Happy New Year, everyone. It is officially 2026, and this is your weekly episode of The Scarlet Edit. I thought it would be fun to piece together some of the best expertise and bits of conversation that I had with some of my favorite guests on The Scarlet Edit in 2025. So without further ado, here are some great clips of all that was a part of this podcast in 2025. I hope you enjoy.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever read the works of Dr. Wednesday Martin, but I would recommend her.
Okay.
She wrote a book a couple of years back, and she talked about how the rise in non-monogamy is something that is being particularly driven by the females. It's women who tire of monogamy long before men do. And we have the reverse perception in culture because we think men are just a bunch of horny guys and they just want to sleep with everybody that moves. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. It's not that women are thinking that. It's just that monogamy is a bigger burden for women than it is for men, and they tire of it earlier. And for a significant portion of them, I believe, it's because, and I think America is a great, case in point here, women's sex education is abysmal.
Yeah.
And so, I'm Gen X, so I'm a little older. So I grew up in a world where sex education basically was don't get her pregnant, don't get an STD. So that was, that was it.
Putting the condom on the banana.
Yeah, exactly. And now, I have teenage boys and, obviously they're getting that same message, but they're getting the consent message, which is really good. But particularly for women, what you never get is here's what good sex is for a woman. Here's how a woman's body works. And for a lot of women, they go along to get along in their teens, in their 20s, and they don't really start to have a sexual awakening, quite frankly, till their 30s or 40s for a lot of women, because it takes them that long to figure out what's working and not working. I mean, how many times have we heard a woman say, well, I think I had an orgasm? What do you think? You know. When you've had one, you know. Any woman who's ever said, I think I had one, you did not. Because there's no question if you had one or not, if you've had one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women who've just never even accomplished that. And the data is, I think it's like 80% of women don't achieve orgasm from penis and vagina sex. Mm-hmm. And so if that's true, but we're not talking to women about that, and we're not telling them, okay, here's what you need to do. And every woman's going to be different. We're not giving them any representation of that. And then the default education mechanism tends to be pornography, which is the worst case scenario for women. It's not that pornography's bad. Pornography is great. Yeah. It's a great form of entertainment, but it's a horrible form of sexual education. Right. And by the time, and this is the downside, is that when women start to figure it out, maybe they're 10 years into their relationship and they turn to their partner and say, okay, listen, we need to make some changes because I'm not getting what I need. And the men, unfortunately, take it as a criticism of them. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's not you're bad. It's we weren't doing the right things. We collectively, and now I'm going to ask for it. So men, here's my advice to you if you're listening to this. If a woman says, things need to change in the bedroom, listen to her. It doesn't mean do everything she says, nor should she do everything you say, but listen to her and find a way to fulfill her needs. And this is a really important point. Toys are your friends. They're not your enemies.
Yeah. I know. I am always surprised when I hear somebody say something like, oh, like he got offended that I wanted to, use a vibrator, or he got offended that I wanted to try a toy. Like, what, I'm not enough for you? And it's like, that's not what it's about.
Yeah. It's like, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's no guy out there who's, I'm a golfer. And I spend a lot of time golfing. Every guy who golfs will go buy every new widget, toy, and gadget.
Great analogy.
To make their golf game better. What, your skill level's not good? Your swing's not good enough? It's the same thing, guys. So go get the range finder that vibrates in the bedroom and you will find the clitoris, hopefully.
Oh my God, hopefully, right? Jeez, I know. I know, they're like, sometimes you really feel like you do have to
But to be fair to the men here, a lot of women don't even know themselves because they're not taught it. There's this idea sometimes of, listen, just, tell him to pull your nightie down when he's done. Like, just put up with sex to get it over with. And there's a lot of people who convey that message to their daughters that's the sex talk. Like, whatever he needs, let him do it. As long as you're not getting hurt. But then when he's done, just, figure yourself out later. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Why don't we talk about this? What works for you? What doesn't work for me? And be open to that conversation. But it takes so long to get there, and a lot of resentment gets built up and fear. And, that's part of what I go out here and do these conversations, I want men to understand there's so much more to sex than what you think there is. And it's, trust me, you're not going to get it off Pornhub.
Yeah.
But talk to your partner, because if she doesn't know, then you guys can start exploring together and figure out what does and doesn't work. And just remind yourself that it's about mutual satisfaction, not your pleasure solely.
That's very well said.
What you described is the fantasy of limerence, right?
Yes.
When we are in limerence, we have that fantasy of what could be. We see all of the potential of our partner, all of the potential of the relationship. And that limerence is such a strong physiological, chemical drive that it keeps us from being able to see the glaring red flags, or we might see them, but we just put on blinders, right? Because we've convinced ourselves that this is still going to work out, or I see the potential. And especially with those strong women that I talked about, these internalizers, there's this sense of, I can make this work. Like, if I hustle harder, if I show up better, if I'm, you know, whatever it is, I can make this work. And so we get stuck in this sense, in this place of, I'm going to prove my worthiness so that he will finally choose me. And the reality is that you are already worthy, and you don't have to hustle for him to choose you, right? You are already worthy, and he is not going to, because you are showing up and allowing, you're co-signing to all of this that's happening.
Totally.
And so what happens over time is, as the limerence kind of goes away, the blinders come off a little bit. And women will still stay stuck because their self-worth is so low, because of the sunk cost fallacy that you've put in so much time, and this still, you know, this fantasy that still exists. But often, eventually, it's hard to not see all of the glaring red flags. And most women over time will stop. But then when we do, there's more damage. We've done all of this extra damage to our self-worth, and it takes a lot to just repair and fix and get to a place where we do feel worthy. Because in ending the relationship, women often are ending the relationship at a point when they actually are feeling their lowest, but there's nothing left to do. And so for women who are in that situation, honor that. Like, honor where you are right now. Honor the grief. Honor the process that you're going to need to get to a place of healing. But that place of healing, it's possible. It's more than possible if you put in the time and the energy. And when you do, you are going to up-level not just you, but you are going to up-level what you expect in a relationship, what you attract, and what you end up having.
Absolutely. I mean, I am living proof of that. I promise you that. Like, the bar has been raised so exponentially, and I thought it was high to begin with. And now I'm just like, it makes me laugh, honestly, but in a good way. But gosh, everything that you're saying is just, it's so true. It's like you live in this fantasy that if I do more, if I show up better, if I love him harder, if I love him more, if I do this, if I prove that I can be X, Y, Z, all of the things, that, you know, he'll finally 100% choose me. And then you get on the other side, and in retrospect, it's like, well, of course he was never going to leave. Like, I was giving him everything. He was having his cake and eating it too. And I mean, that saying is a saying for a reason, you know? And it's like, and then, you know, I've had other conversations on this podcast where, you know, talking about infidelity and how, you know, sometimes an affair can bring out the best in the person who is having it, because they're getting all of their needs met now. So they can go home and they're in a good mood because they're not stressed out. Like, he's not stressed out that he's not going to get laid tonight because he already did. So he can go home and he can be focused. He can be a great dad and he can do all these things, or a great mom, whatever it may be. And so then it's like they're showing up better. So it's like, you know, in their minds, they're like, well, hey, best of both worlds is pretty great. But for the person that that's the only thing they have, it's lonely and it can suck. Right. And I mean, and like I already said, you get to a point where the bad outweighs the good. And then it's like you kind of break free.
I met her on Spotify. She's from Germany. We're completely in love, and I'm going to move her to America and set her up in one of my dad's apartments. But I'm trying to figure out what to do, because, you know, like, I love her and I love you. And I just, that was the moment I'm like, we're completely done. Like,
yeah,
this person is so freaking delusional. Like, you met someone that's your girlfriend from Germany that you're moving here. And I was like, well, what about our kids? He's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I just thought, we're done. And just like, life was a blur for the next few days. And then he said, well, I need to figure out what we're going to do. It was still that I need to figure out what we're going to do. So disregard for me. And I mean, I allowed it because I wasn't making decisions at that point. Mm-hmm. And he said, I talked to my therapist, the same one from all those years ago, like 16 years before. And she said that we need to go to couples counseling to decide if we should get a divorce. And I was just like, I don't know. Yeah. So 6 months, $200 an hour every single week to figure out, because only then would I be able to make an informed decision. And
according
I was just like, well, I don't, and then it was like, but suppose, and I never talked to the therapist directly up until then, but supposedly the therapist said, you're going to love this one, that he has to choose, you know, if he's going to commit to the marriage, he's going to have to break up with this girlfriend. So he claimed that he was having such a hard time and that he would need 2 weeks to figure out this decision of what he was going to do.
Oh my God.
While we're still living in the house. And that if he broke up with the girlfriend, which he thought he was going to do because he kind of wanted to keep the marriage together, and I had to keep waiting. But then she was giving him an extra week to make the decisions. Then it became 3 weeks. And in the meantime, I'm hiding all this from the kids, my life, family, you know, everything.
Oh.
That I would be the one responsible for helping him deal with his grief over the breakup with the girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is literally insane. I mean, and it's crazy as you're telling me this, like, I feel like there's all these little moments where different relationships that I have been in are like popping into my mind that I haven't thought about in years. And I'm thinking like, that was totally insane. That was totally insane. And I'm like, and at the time I totally remember being like, oh yeah, this is perfectly normal. I had a boyfriend once after college and he like could not figure out if he wanted to commit to me or not. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to the gym one night and talking to one of my friends at the gym and telling him, oh, well, you know, he's meeting with his men's Bible study tonight, and then he's going to let me know. And I remember my friend was like, what? Like, you're waiting for him to go to Bible study before he's going to tell you if he wants to be your boyfriend? Like, do you not hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
Right. Like, he's not going to Bible study. It's not Bible study.
Oh my God. Right? Oh, it was never Bible study.
Yeah. Mine was, I'm going to my therapy group. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My abuse recovery. Sure. Mine was going to his abuse recovery group.
Yeah. Oh my God. If this podcast was like further along where you could put like a really funny quote from the show as the title, it literally would be like, it was never Bible study.
Yes. That's your title. I love it.
It's so true. Oh my God. I love this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was doing whatever I could to cultivate self-awareness so I could figure out how to make different choices that would give me different results. So once I did that and realized that it really was this fear of being alone, I knew I just had to face that fear of being alone and dive in and like deal with that and figure out how to get comfortable there. I had to quit my job and get a job that paid a little bit more so that I could afford a place with just my daughter and myself. So I was, you know, working full time, raising her alone. And during lockdown is when I really started wanting to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to help people. I just never knew how. And I came across life coaching. And the more I learned about it, I was like, holy shit, like this is what I was made to do. Like I was born for this. And awesome. So then I got some certifications and I
decided that I just wanted to help divorced women, right? Because I had at that point, now I've done it twice myself. I had a lot of tools. I knew a lot of things that you shouldn't do and things that you got to avoid and the things that really are important and how to get yourself to that place where you can release the guilt and the shame and rebuild your self-confidence and lean into the independence and embrace it. And I just had all these tools at that point. And so I decided I wanted to just empower other women to try to avoid making some of the same mistakes that I did.
I love that. I love that so much because I think that there is so much power in doing something from experience. Yeah. And I think that it helps other people kind of feel better about, oh, okay, like I've been through this, but like, look how great she's doing. So maybe I can get to that point too. And maybe I should be unapologetic and maybe I should be like still passionate and excited and believing that I can have everything I want. I mean, that's my biggest yeah. driver. In all of this and doing this podcast is that like, yeah, like I was the other woman. I had a long-term affair, but that doesn't mean that I'm like, oh, I'm a horrible person or I'm not deserving right. of what it is that I want. And I want right. other people to feel that way as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we can have such cruel people in our lives, like we were talking about, like there's still such a stigma, but I just truly believe that like staying in a relationship that you don't want to be in is just it's such a waste. I mean, like who is that serving? What purpose does that serve? How, like, it just makes no sense to me why people would rather see you do that than just leave and like either go be alone or go find a better fit and a better partner for you. So, I mean, I'm not built to settle. That's not how I'm wired. Like I will never settle. I think me just sharing my story and my journey has been very helpful for a lot of other women who maybe aren't at that point yet, you know, and they have to kind of get the confidence to get to the point where they're like, yeah, you know what? I do want more for myself. Or yeah, I do deserve better. Or yeah, this relationship has been shit for 15 years. Like, what am I still doing in this situation? And kind of just giving them the permission to be honest with themselves and take those steps to better their lives. And I think the thing is too, like a lot of people don't believe that kind of like level of happiness is actually possible. Like a lot of people think it's just kind of like in the movies or a fairy tale and like, no, this is real life.
It's the number one regret. I mean, there was a book that was written by an Australian woman named Bronnie Ware. It's called The Top Regrets of the Dying. She was a hospice nurse and she worked with dying patients and she interviewed them on their regrets and she wrote a book about it. And the number one regret of the dying is I wish I had lived a life that I wanted to live, not a life that someone else wanted for me.
Yeah.
The number one regret was I wish I lived an authentic life.
Yeah.
So I never want to be the reason for someone else to say that on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you bring that up because I was thinking about that a very similar topic this morning about my own life and the journey that I've been on over the last year with podcasting. And I remember there's this one gal and she has a very successful podcast. And I've heard her say more than one time, but when someone asks me if they should get into podcasting, I always say no. And I thought to myself, literally just this morning, and I was like, what if I would have listened to this stranger that doesn't even know me and just listened to what she said instead of saying, you know what? No, I want to go and do this. And this is like part of the life that I want to lead. And I thought like, gosh, how great. And it made me happy that I am more of a positive, encouraging person where if somebody wants to do something, I'm usually more like, yeah, go do it. If like you're feeling called to do
reason.
That, if you feel like you are meant to do that, go do it.
The word desire means desire of the Lord. It's something that we were given at birth. It's the greatest gift that we have is that we want things and we can visualize and we can imagine them. But then we have these rules. Nope, you can't do that. You can't cross that line. You can't do this thing. Yeah. You can't travel there. I'm telling you, like for me, polyamory is just the ability to say yes to life, like whatever that means. And usually it's not sex. It's like it's just a nice conversation. Maybe it leads to a business partnership. Maybe it leads to a fun podcast episode or something that you wouldn't have done because like, oh, I can't talk to that person. My wife's going to get jealous. Like, it's just craziness. A lot of insecurity.
I love that. Yeah. Oh my God. The insecurity, I feel like, is the root of so much. And lack of communication, I feel like, is the number one reason that so many things fail. I mean, whether it's friendship, relationships, business, anything, it's people who are unable to communicate with one another.
Yeah. Completely agree. Yeah.
Well, I have loved this conversation, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing and for accepting the questions that I had and for just being yourself and sharing who you are.
It's my pleasure, Nikki. Like, this is, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I knew I wouldn't hold back.
Yeah, this is like a very raw thing I'm about to share. But I think that it goes well into this part of the conversation that we're having. And since I've been an open book on this podcast up till now, I figure why not? But I remember in my early 20s, I was in a relationship and I remember having this thought one day. And I think it stuck with me because I don't know where it originated and I don't know why I even had it. But I remember thinking like, gosh, I bet he would rather be doing so many other things right now than hanging out with me. And it was like almost like in that moment, I felt bad for him that he was hanging out with me instead of doing something else or hanging out with somebody else. And I have no idea where that came from. And it's such a sad thought. Like, who would want to think that? Why did I think that? Why did I think I wasn't like great enough to be spending time with or to be in a relationship with? I don't know. So that just kind of jumped in my head as you were talking about all of that.
That's the phantom critic. And my question to you would be, when did you feel that before? Yeah. Because here's the thing, the messages we get that are the strongest in our childhood often are never verbally spoken to us. We hear them loud and clear. Mm-hmm. Our parent may never say, I'd rather be doing something else than spending time with you, right? Well, I mean, some parents might, but most parents, good, loving parents would never say that. But sometimes we get those messages loud and clear. And so I wonder where in your life, prior to this relationship, you received that message that this person doesn't really want to be with me.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I have not thought about that in probably years. And it for some reason jumped into my head as you were speaking. So yeah, but I mean, it's weird thinking about these like little moments that stick with us as we go through life and age, and some of them we just remember over and over, and then some jump into our minds at the most, you know, I imagine it's not a coincidence that I just thought of that right now. It's because you're, you know, stirring something up with all of your wisdom. But yeah, it is crazy the things that, you know, I think subconsciously that we pick up on and that become a part of our behavior, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah. And that was a perfect example that you just gave, because when you're sitting with him and he's probably enjoying his time with you and you're thinking he doesn't even want to be with me, you're responding to him as if he doesn't want to be with you. Right, and so you may be micro rejecting him or responding to him in certain ways that he will experience as off and not know. And then maybe he creates his own meaning for why you're showing up that way. And that's how we get that disconnection in our relationships. And it comes from shame. It comes from shame.
So what advice do you give? How do you help coach your clients through working through this so they can get, you know, can you completely let go of this complex shame? Can you get on the other side of it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I wrote my book. That's why I do my podcast. I've developed an 8-step, it's really 9 steps when you include maintenance, steps for overcoming complex shame. And it starts with going back to those stories, that story that just triggered yourself, you know, in your mind, going back to understanding what are those stories the phantom critic is telling me, start to label them, understand what type of shame you have, because there's a number of different types of shame. There's like racial identity shame, there's religious shame, there's body shame, there's gender shame, there's imposter syndrome shame. There's so many different types of shame. So understanding what type of shame you have, and then working on untangling the blame. And this one is hard, because whether we contributed to our shame or somebody else can, you know, victimized us in some way, shape, or form, what we often do is blame, especially when you have complex shame.
There's another group of women that I know are our listeners that were married and their husbands were serial cheaters. So I know that when I started this show, that some of them were kind of like, okay, like this really sucks, because, you know, you're sitting here talking about that you were the other person in an affair and you are talking about it so loudly. And like, this is, brings up a lot of painful emotions for me. So I would imagine that those women in particular can hear this conversation with you and me and think like, you know, fuck this website. They're helping facilitate the thing that hurt me the most. What do you say to those people?
Well, obviously we get lots of criticism, right? I mean, think about it from this perspective. The Ten Commandments mention adultery twice, no other sin. So murder only gets mm-hmm. one, but mm-hmm. adultery gets two. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of animosity towards us for you know, from a societal perspective. But you can shut my business down tomorrow. It doesn't change anything. Like, all these things are going to happen. They're going to happen elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, our biggest competition is not another dating app. It's, in fact, really The Office, because traditionally that's more often mm-hmm. than not where affairs take place, because you spend so much time there. And then mm-hmm. you add in business travel or work events, holiday parties, all those great things. And that's where our biggest thing is. Like, we all remember
did you guys
Coldplay
get a
concert.
Well, no, yes, that. But did you guys get a big uptick in COVID of memberships because people weren't going to work?
Huge. We were up, I think, initially like 30%. It was wild. It was like right away. Because think about it. Like, around the world, people were forced into their homes. Mm-hmm. Never mind not being in the office. You're forced in your homes. And all the outlets we had at that point in our life to distract us from the cracks in our relationship, you know, boys mm-hmm. night, girls night, sports, events, all the things we
Everything
did
was were gone.
Immediately. Now I'm 24 hours a day locked in a house with this person. And if you had a crack in that foundation, it was going to get exposed and it was mm-hmm. going to probably widen. And we mm-hmm. became an outlet for millions of people around the world for that very reason.
Wow. I bet. Yeah. I mean, I thought about it from the office perspective, but then as you started talking more about like we weren't having happy hours with our girlfriends, like guys weren't going to a baseball game on Wednesday night after work. Like, there wasn't golf on the weekends. There wasn't, you know, birthday parties for kids. Wow. Yeah.
It was a very tough time. And I think, you know, for years, they will study the outcomes from that event in terms mm-hmm. of how it impacted every function of our lives. But particularly, obviously, Absolutely. From our perspective, how relationships changed dramatically. Because, mm-hmm. you know, now I look at, because I'm recently dating again. And, mm-hmm. you know, what I look for in a partner is so much more different than what I would have said in my early 20s.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I felt the exact same way. It's like, it's almost like that's a whole different person. It's not just a different version of me. It's an entirely different woman.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, it's just, it's nuts what, you know, as you grow and change and go through all these different aspects of life and figure out who you are now, it's what you want and look for changes dramatically. Yeah.
And this is why, you know, we going back to the beginning where I talked about Dr. Tammy Nelson's 5-year monogamy contract, mm-hmm. you change dramatically over the course of a relationship, your interests, your desires, your needs, your wants, all these things. And if you're not talking about those changes, if you're not reflecting on those changes, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're doing your partner a disservice, because you're expecting them suddenly to, you know, change with you, but they don't know. They're not a mind reader.
Right,
and so
right.
you've got to say it for it to be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think about hearing you in the beginning of our conversation today, which was you saying that if you were who you are today then, which we don't have hindsight, but if that were the case, you wouldn't make that decision today. Why?
Well, for me, I feel like, you know, when I look back, clearly my self-worth was not where it needed to be. Because now when I look at where my self-worth is, where my expectations are, where my boundaries are, where what I know I want for my life and what I believe I deserve for my life, it is not somebody that is committed to somebody else. So I say that because that's kind of been my own evolution as a woman. Now, do I think I was in this like horrible place back then? No, absolutely not. I mean, I felt like he really helped me raise my standards. And then unfortunately for him, I just raised them so much higher that he was no longer, you know, the right person for me. But yeah, I mean, I think that because I chose to work on myself, that got me to where I am now. So I guess that's a great answer to my own question, is that, you know, if somebody were to be toying with the idea of having an affair or choosing to be involved with somebody who is married, it's like, hey, like, what could you work on yourself during this time instead of making this choice so you could get past that faster without the heartbreak, without all of the time invested in somebody that ultimately is not going to be able to give you what you want.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because I like to look back on life and say, would I make that choice differently? Very sure. I would make a different choice today. However, I see the gems in the muck. Like you've learned and developed some amazing things due to this choice in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no regrets. And that's what I often say. And I think sometimes people are surprised, you know, when people say like, oh, do you regret it? Or if you were to go back to that time in your life, would you make that choice again? And it's like, well, if I was this version of me, like, no, I wouldn't make that choice. But if I were to go back to that version of me at that period in time, like, I probably would make the choice again. And do I regret it? Absolutely not. Like, it got me here. I don't know what, I don't know who I would be today without that part of my story. So, no, I'm not going to ever say that I regret it. I don't.
I love it.
Thanks.
So the reason why I preface it with that is, hey, you're going to choose. You have free will and choice. You're going to choose what you're going to choose. Know that any part of this equation, the three parts, is going to very likely break your heart. And that you will have a significant chapter, an opportunity to learn a whole lot about you and what love means to you from this experience. I also look at it and say, you know, what's the why? Like, why? Looking in, understanding, why am I attracted to this? And I think you actually touched on something so important, which is you talked about my self-worth is different now than it was then. Given, that's a given and a great thing when we're on a growing trajectory.
Yeah.
But how do you, there, you know, you look back and this would be the interesting part about you having a journal. You're like, what did your inner voice know? What was your inner voice saying to you at, in those moments when you made those choices, right? Because I look at it and go, we turn that inner voice down all the time. We are told to question it all the time. And I can look back and go, if I would have listened to my heart, my inner wise, wise heart, I would have listened to me, which meant I would have made this choice over here, but I didn't listen to myself. So that's different than looking back and saying, oh yeah, now that makes sense. It's like you said earlier, when we look back and go, I knew this was happening. I knew this choice should have been different. I knew I should have done this differently. And we didn't.
And that is a wrap on the Best of 2025 episode of The Scarlet Edit. Thank you all for being listeners. Thank you all for coming back here each and every week to enjoy these conversations and learn and feel seen and heard and like you are not the only one who has lived the experience that you have lived. The Scarlet Edit has been so much more than I ever could have dreamed it could have been. And I am so excited for all that I have up and coming for you all in 2026. It's going to be so much fun, so exciting, so many great conversations, and I just can't wait. So thank you for being a part. If you are not already subscribed to this YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button. If you haven't already followed along on Instagram, I would love to follow there at thescarlet.edit. And as always, if you are an Apple listener, please go on and leave me a 5-star review. And I would love to hear your comments as well. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And we will see you next week.